Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Here are some people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
off with
a variety talk show whose only
all
mission is
to empower
you.
That were only going to bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in. If you often listen to my show or follow me on several of the social networks I'm on, you know that I'm a proud mom of two sons, Zaire and Zion, and my youngest son, Zion, has Down syndrome, and he has been the inspiration behind my advocacy efforts through various projects that I've done since 2005. I've spoken with many parents over the years, and it seems as though we have the same concerns in common, such as acceptance for our children, inclusion, education, health, and the use, or I say misuse, of the R word. When I thought to have a show, to have this much-needed conversation, the first organization that came to mind was, of course, Special Olympics, because for me, one of the reasons why I really wanted them on the show is because they've been very vocal about respect and compassion and inclusion and so much more for our children and for all individuals with intellectual disabilities. Through various projects such as, I'm sure you heard of, Spread the Word to End the Word. To have this needed conversation, I'm so honored to have two amazing guests, Andrea Khan and Isabella Smith. Before I get started, I want to kind of introduce who both these ladies are, beautiful ladies. Andrea Khan is the Senior Director for Special Olympics Project Unify. Andrea has been with Special Olympics for the past 25 years. As an inaugural director, she was responsible for the launch 5 years ago of a major partnership with the U.S. Department of Education to promote inclusion by creating model schools of acceptance through the innovative implementation of existing and new Special Olympic sports and education programs. The program has grown to a multi-million program currently in 45 states and 2,310 schools, and reaches 1.7 million students with messages and activities that promote inclusive youth leadership and social inclusion. Andrea holds a degree in special education and has worked as a volunteer with children with intellectual disabilities since she was an adolescent. Also joining us is 16-year-old, and I really appreciate her calling in. She's at school. Thank you for the school for allowing her to do this. She's a Special Olympics athlete, Isabella Smith, who represents North Carolina. Isabella first got involved through her brother, who is a Special Olympics athlete. She became an athlete herself when she turned 8 years old, and in 2012, Isabella was selected to be a global messenger and state youth activation council member. As a national YAC member, she hopes to increase the knowledge of and participation in Project Unify. She wants to help people become more aware of Special Olympics and all the sports involved with it. Her favorite part of Project Unify is being able to volunteer, give speeches, work hand-in-hand with a bunch of wonderful people who are passionate about it just as she is. And I'm really excited to have them both on the show, and I'm looking forward to the conversation. Welcome. Welcome, Andrea
and
Bella.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm very honored to have you both here. And I'm really looking forward, as I said, to the conversation. And as I was reading your bio, Andrea, one of the things that kind of stuck out to me is that you've been with the company for nearly 24 years, and which says a lot, especially today. You know,
yes.
So what
inspires you?
Some
people question my sanity.
So what inspired you to get involved with Special Olympics, and what kept you involved for 24 years?
Well, you know, that's a really great question. And as you mentioned in your introduction, I did start to be involved with children with intellectual disabilities as a volunteer when I was very young. The wisdom of a mother to get her daughter involved in the community, I think, is really what started that. But it was something I really enjoyed, and I stayed involved as a volunteer throughout my school years. And it did have an impact on the career choice that I made. But then I did not get involved in special education. I really was never, except for right after I finished school, I was never a teacher. I got involved in other areas, just went in a different direction for the first 12 years of my adult life, but then came back to be near my family again in the Washington, D.C. area, and I saw an ad in the paper for Special Olympics, and it was not an organization I had ever been involved in, but it spoke to me immediately. It's one of those things where you know it's your fate to have that job, and I did get the job, luckily, and the reason I've stayed for so long is because Special Olympics really has the ability to stay abreast of what's going on in the community, what the needs are of people in the community. We try really hard to change what we do and adapt what we do, staying true to our mission, but adapt what we do based on the needs that we see around us. And I think we've done a really good job of that. In that respect, it's very entrepreneurial, and it has not been boring to be involved with Special Olympics for such a long time. One great example of that is how we evolved our programming back in the 70s when the school systems changed and mainstreaming started to be the practice, and students with intellectual disabilities were included in the school system, in the public schools, and there were fewer special schools and more special education students in the general education classrooms. And we've been able to start new programs and add new kinds of initiatives to our array of activities to keep us able to stay attuned with what's going on in the world around us.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that that really stood out to me about Special Olympics is that how they launch different campaigns, and or I've seen representatives on the news talking about different issues involving the intellectual and those with intellectual disabilities, and is beyond just focusing on the sports, even though that's an important aspect of it. but being involved, more hands-on and involved in the community is what I really commend Special Olympics for doing. Speaking of sports, Bella, what sport do you play and why is it your favorite?
That's a good question. I would say since I am a Special Olympics athlete, my favorite sports I chose to were bowling. The reason behind that is because I can either do it by myself or I can play within a team, and it's a whole lot of fun because I love to bowl. That's just, like, one of my favorite things to do. And the other thing I would say is when we have Special Olympics here in North Carolina, the one thing that I compete in is the wheelchair races, and that is a lot of fun to get to do every year, and it's just stuff that I love to do. Those are my two favorite sports that I love.
Oh, great. And, one, I want to congratulate you on all that you've accomplished, not just with Special Olympics, and for you to be so young and so involved, I commend you. So I wanted to say that really quick before I go back to a question I have for Andrea. So again, Bella, congratulations, and
Thank you so much.
An inspiration to a lot of your peers. Andrea, talk to us about Project Unify. Tell us a little bit about it.
Absolutely. Project Unify, is, as you mentioned earlier, it's a collaboration that we started 5 years ago between Special Olympics and the schools and the school system and the education system and educators, administrators, and students. And the main objective is to focus on social inclusion and giving young people and their teachers and the school systems the tools so that they can come together through sports and other related education activities. We want to enhance their skills and their attitudes and give them the opportunity to be the agents of change in their schools, to create school communities where all of the young people are agents of that change for positive school climate. And we know the challenges that young people have, and it's not just children with intellectual disabilities. All children are facing enormous struggles. I won't go into all the statistics. We read them in the news every day, but isolation, disengagement, kids are dropping out of school. They aren't finding what they need to be successful, and this is a challenge for our society that we have to address. And I think, you know, Bella mentioned that one of the reasons she loves bowling is because she can be on a team, and this idea of someone having a friend, being on a team, being part of a group, having a place where you belong is really, really important. It's important for all of us, and I think we know that students with intellectual disabilities with any kind of difference are the ones who are least likely to have those opportunities to have friends. So what we do with Project Unify is we deliberately bundle our inclusive sports program, which is called Unified Sports, with club activities. We have partners clubs or Club Unify where students of all abilities come together. They're in the same club, and they put on activities for the school. They put on Unified Sports. Unified Sports becomes an accepted sports opportunity for the school. The kids come out to pep rallies and cheer those teams on. And that Unified Sports is students with and without disabilities are all on the same teams together, and they play with other teams that are similarly comprised. And the friendships and the bonds that are built on the playing field or on the court, those that we all know that's sports and recreation is where those relationships begin, and it spills over into the classroom. And we also have I could just go on. We have so many wonderful, wonderful resources. We have a full K-12 curriculum that's set up to help students understand and celebrate people's differences and to promote acceptance and understanding among all students, to build leadership and to support leadership of students, to be able to be advocates, to be upstanders when they see injustice, to really understand what social justice is and how to support it. And it's a whole school approach. We have also the opportunity for youth leaders to form committees and groups and put on activities for the whole school, whether it's a special olympics event or it might be an R Word campaign to help educate other students about why using that word is offensive. It might be just a respect campaign or just activities that bring everybody in the school together and celebrate strengths and not focus on differences.
Wow.
So that's what it is.
Yeah.
And we think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's big. It's huge. I'm just sitting here just thinking of so many things that, you know, concerns that parents have. And I'll just speak for myself right now. One of the concerns is my son being more involved and being more accepted by, you know, his peers, you know, with or without, mm-hmm. you know, disabilities. And this type of program, you know, a lot of also helps eliminate another concern, which is bullying. So,
right, exactly.
And getting people more compassionate and involved and realizing that, you know, our children are not that different. And seeing,
right.
you know, how equal, you know, they are. And, you know, I mean, I can go on and on and on. I love what you are doing with this project. And I think that, you know, in order to create change, you have to be aggressive, so to speak. and making programs like you are as far as being more included. And I love your response, Bella, that two reasons why you love bowling is that sometimes you can do it alone and sometimes you can, you know, you can, it's something also where you can do it, you know, with a group. So I want to ask you, Bella, what inspired you to be a part of Project Unify?
Well, like it was said in my bio, I like to be able to work hand-in-hand with people with and without disabilities. It also is a wonderful feeling, and it encourages me to keep doing what I'm doing. And one other thing that is a big part is that I can also speak on behalf of other Special Olympics athletes, and I'm able to be a part of something that includes everyone.
Yeah, you are an amazing young lady. I want to talk about the R word, and I guess I got choked up a little bit saying that because it's something that's very passionate to me. And to talk about, and you know, over the years, I've the reactions have been different from people, and I've had to address some family and friends and about the use of the word, I was really amazed at the different responses. Some people feel like it's just a word, and then you have those who feel like parents are overreacting, parents and advocates are overreacting about the use of the word. So, Andrea, share with our listeners why the R word is offensive.
Well, this is a really, it seems simple, but it is a fairly complicated kind of a thing to discuss. And
yeah.
The word is offensive in the first place and mainly because it is offensive to our Special Olympics athletes and their families. And
yes.
So, and that's where we got really involved in this, is that the athletes that we serve are coming to us and saying, we need to do something. This is a terrible thing, and people are using this word, and we don't know what to do about it. That's one of the reasons for giving young people the tools and the skills to be advocates, because they sometimes hear this language used, and they know it's not acceptable. They know there's something wrong with it, or they have a brother or a sister or a friend or someone they know who has an intellectual disability, and they don't feel right, but they also don't know how to express their feelings about it. And I'm going to use the word just to make sure that we all understand how this kind of thing works. It comes from the medical terminology. Mental retardation was the term that had been used for many years as a medical diagnosis for people with intellectual disabilities. Mm-hmm. And so it was a name that was associated so much with people with intellectual disabilities. They knew that that was a word that people used to describe them. But then the word retard evolved out of that medical terminology as a pejorative word used to demean not just people with intellectual disabilities, but all people who someone might be wanting to call less than or not as good as or unacceptable or just not to be included. And so when you hear that word, then, as someone who has a close personal association, being used in that negative, demeaning way, even if it's not directed at you personally, it still demeans you because you know that people are using a word that has been used to describe you to describe something that's negative. And so it's a very visceral response that any of us would have. What it comes down to is it's name-calling. It doesn't matter what the word is. Name-calling is just not right, whether you're calling your best friend a name or you're calling someone that you don't like a name or you're calling somebody that you want to hurt a name. It's still name-calling, and that is really what we're about eradicating, that pejorative, hurtful, demeaning use of words.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll say from my personal experience, as far as, you know, someone making jokes, using a word as a joke or is funny, and people that I know personally that love Zion, you know, using it as a joke or making a mockery of people who are intellectually disabled, and, of course, naturally as a mother, I'm offended. So when I address it, it's like I've gotten a response, well, you know, I'm not talking about Zion. And, you know, my take on it is, you know, and some people get offended when I say it, but my take on it is, you know, it's like talking about, because I'm African-American, and it's like someone saying a racial joke around me and then turn around and say, well, you know, I'm not talking about you. You know,
absolutely.
So
that's exactly right.
Yeah, it don't take away that it's a, you know, that I'm offended by it. You know,
right.
I want to ask you, Bella, if you could tell our listeners, how does the use of this word make you feel?
Well, like both of you said, a few things that I had jotted down. Was that it's very hurtful to hear this word, and even if you're using it with friends and everything, even if I'm around, like, people say it all the time at my school, and, like, I'll act like it doesn't bother me, but at the same time, I know it's, like, it bothers me really bad that people know I'm around and they'll still use it just to see if I will react to it. And like you said, it's a derogatory term, just like racist remarks and stuff. As far as that, they're both ugly no matter how you look at it. And they do hurt people, but some people don't even care. You can tell them all you want. how it affects you, but some people aren't going to understand it, and some people will. So it is very hurtful, regardless whether people know it or not, or whether I show it or not. But
yeah,
the word I use is very hurtful.
So with that said, why is it important that we continue to spread the word, to end the word?
Bella. People don't think they just use it. They need to understand that it hurts to hear it, even if we don't show it. The same way we want to stop other negative words and make people think before using them, we want people to consider this word as negative and think before using it.
Yeah.
So,
Andrea, I want to ask you the same question. Why is it important that we continue to spread the word, to end the word?
Well, I do think Bella expressed it perfectly. There's still a lot of work to do. Clearly,
yeah.
That word is still being used, and it's still hurting people, and so we can't stop until we make a bigger dent in the conversation. Big words really matter, and they shape the way we think about things, and they have an impact, and they define certain things, even if it's not direct. You know, we're not trying to say that people don't have the right to use words however they want. Of course, that's one of our constitutional rights, to be able to speak however we feel. But we do want people to think first. Bella said it. Think first. Understand the implications and how it affects other people. And it's really the underlying meanness that is there that we're trying to have an impact on. If people care about their friends and the people around them and care about how they feel, then they won't use this word. And that is really what it's about. It's about caring and nurturing spirits, and it's about standing up for others who you know may be hurt by certain actions.
Yeah, and one of the things that I tell my friends and family is that it's not just about saying the word around me. It's about eliminating the word from your vocabulary. And the reason why I say that is because I feel like even if you're saying it like Bella said, you know, whether you think it affects me or not, or if I hide, you know, that it affects me. Just showing compassion and caring about, you know, and really, like you were saying, understanding why it's offensive, and showing more, you know, compassion toward people, and just not saying it. You know, it's certain things, you know, I don't not say comments about other ethnicities because I'm around them. I don't say it because that's not what I feel, you know. So
right.
Having more compassion and I guess part of the thing is seeing, you know, people in a different light, you know. If the, you know, the N-word was used, people lose their jobs. But, you know, when the R-word is used, it's kind of brushed to the side a little bit, and that, as a mother, that kind of disturbs me. So again, I commend all that Special Olympics is doing to and spread the word, to end the word. And one of the things I want to add to that is that it's year round. Not, you know, the campaign is usually in March, but you know, parents have to continue to, even if it's once a month or something, just post, even if it's just simply posting the online flyer, you know, to spread
mm-hmm.
the word, to end the word,
reminder.
Just post it,
mm-hmm.
a reminder, yeah, every now and then, just reminding your friends and family to be more conscious that it's offensive. Bella, another thing I want to ask you is, what do you love most about being involved with Special Olympics?
The thing that I love the most, I would have to say, is getting to meet new people and getting to catch up with my old friends that I met near and far, and I get to feel like I belong to something, to be involved and be a part of something that is near and dear to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I do state-level YAC stuff, and I do national stuff, and I get to meet the greatest people you'll ever meet, like Andrea, and just different people. They once you meet them, they will warm your heart, and it makes you take a whole breath. It makes you think about the things that you said in the past, and it changed your whole demeanor about things.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. Andrea, you've been involved with the U.S. Department of Education to promote, as I said in the introduction, to promote inclusive youth leadership and social inclusion. And you kind of touched on it, but what has been your greatest challenge?
Well, there are lots of small challenges. One thing that's not a challenge, and I think that we can hear this in the way Bella expresses herself, what's not a challenge is that young people are up to the task, and
yeah.
they're ready to help and have an impact and be the change agents in their schools. They want to have the opportunity to learn about these things. They want to have the opportunity to be in classes together with their peers who may have different abilities, but they see them as really potentially being able to be much more involved in the same things that the other students are involved in. We're actually in close to 3,000 schools now, but I would say one of our biggest challenges is we just want to be in more schools. We do believe that what we're offering to educators is a great opportunity to help them with the challenges that they already face and that they already want to address in their schools. And
yeah.
so, you know, just getting more of the word out to schools that this is something they can do and that we're there with them to collaborate. We have an extraordinary body of evidence and data that shows that the work that we're doing really does have an impact on attitude and behavior and social, emotional development. And we continue to look at that data and try to share that to make sure people see that this is not just a nice thing to do, but it can truly have an impact on the bottom line that schools are trying to address. Kids learn 21st century skills that are needed for them to be successful in secondary, post-secondary, and their lives in careers. We also know that by being involved in Special Olympics, if you have an intellectual disability, you're much more likely to hold a job as a young adult than if you have never been involved in Special Olympics. There are so many amazing things that we see as a result of our work, and we just like more people to be involved. Teachers always say, and our Special Olympics staff and volunteers say this too, we just don't have time to do one more thing. But we believe that this inclusive sports and the curriculums that can help, and we've mapped to the Common Core standards in every grade level, and that do promote these skills and academic dispositions that are so important to our young people. All of those things can be achieved with this. So it's not an add-on. It's a solution and a strategy for achieving what we're all already trying to do.
Yeah.
Social inclusion and inclusion in schools is just really, really important for everybody. And we'd just like to be able to do more. So I guess that's our greatest challenge, resources and making sure everybody understands that maybe a little bit of extra time will end up with great, great rewards, and that the students are ready to be in the lead on this, and we really should let them be leaders today.
One of the things that came to mind when you were saying that, of course, as a parent, you know, I'm naturally looking for programs in my son's school. And right now they don't have that. So I want to ask if, as far as getting more involved with Project Unify, is it something as simple as me going up to the school and introducing the program to them? And what are other ways parents can get more involved?
Well, that's a really great question. And we, as I said, we're in 3,000 schools, but there are over 120,000 schools in the country, so we have a long way to go. And our, you can always contact your local Special Olympics program. Our entire country is very well aware of what we're doing with Project Unify. And if a school comes to us and says, we would really like to have this in our school, our programs will work very closely to help make that happen. There is a wealth of resources on our website, and there are lots of things that parents and teachers can do on their own to get started without having a direct involvement with Special Olympics. Although, if you're going to do our unified sports programming, it really is, we really have so many resources for training coaches and for getting the teams involved in competitions, et cetera, that you'll want to become part of our mix. But the curriculum is free to download to any educator who goes on our website. The R Word campaign is something that students are conducting on their own all the time, and these are great ways to get started and to get your foot in the door for a whole school Project Unify Special Olympics experience, which, as Bella expressed, will make a huge difference in your children's lives.
Yeah. What has been your greatest life lesson since you started this journey, Andrea?
Well, I continue to have these lessons every day. I learn so much. I think the biggest thing is that if we celebrate each other's gifts and skills, and we give each one of us the opportunity to share those gifts and those skills and those strengths and to utilize those strengths and to recognize them, then we will all be so much better off, that every single person in this world has something to offer us. And sometimes you have to pay a little bit more attention, but it's there in every single person, no matter what their place in society and no matter what their perceived or defined ability is. I think that's the most important thing that I learn and I relearn every single day.
Yeah, and it's has to be an amazing journey to watch the growth and watch different things change and to be a part of making a difference and changing the world. Since I've had Zion is 11 now, since I've had him, I've seen a lot of growth. We still have a ways to go within the special needs community, but I have seen a lot of growth over the years, and even my son Zion being more accepted. And again, like I said earlier, I absolutely love all that Special Olympics is doing, and I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I really genuinely am, because like I said earlier too, that's a major concern for a lot of parents, is having that, you know, knowing that their child is accepted or seeing their child being accepted and being involved. And it's also beneficial to them. And it's also beneficial to children that don't have everybody has special needs, but children that don't have a diagnosis, I see even with them that are around Zion and his school, you know, some come into class and, you know, they're he play with, you know, his peers on the playground, and even with them, I can tell that it makes them a better person. Even with my oldest son, who was 21, I really think that Zion being in his life have made him a better person, made him more compassionate, and just overall a more caring person. And so I'm just wanted to elaborate on what you were saying about the life lessons in it, and it's almost for me, you know, the life lessons that I've learned through Zion is of course compassion and unconditional love, and he's really taught me how to love, and not just loving him, but I'm more of an open person. I'm more understanding, and it's almost hard to put into words, you know, what he has brought into my life. Because someone asked me a while back that, you know, well, why do you consider him a blessing? And it's like, you know, it's hard for me to, you know, put it into words, but he has truly, truly been a blessing, and I've been just gravitated and inspired and motivated by people like you, Bella, who speak out and get involved and who are compassionate about not just being involved, but you also are involved with making a difference in other people's lives and getting involved beyond just the just focusing on the sport that you love, but expanding yourself and being involved with making a difference. The question I have for you, Bella, is if you could change how the world sees you and all individuals with different abilities, what would be the main thing you wish people could see?
That is a very, very good question. And when I was, I'm going to tell you, whenever I was reading over the question and writing about it, this is kind of what I came up with. I wish people saw that I, along with other special needs people, are human, and we are still just people, regardless of how we look on the outside or even sound. It shouldn't affect people's decision to get to know us on the inside. We're just like everyone else, and we want to be treated just like we would if we were quote-unquote normal, meaning no crutches, no wheelchair, no speech impediments, or whatever disability we may have. I also wish the first thing that comes out of people's mouths or minds is, oh, they can't do anything, they won't be anything because of our physical appearances or mental abilities. Honestly, today, I, along with others, am proving all of these people wrong by doing something that I'm passionate about, and this is a way for me to express myself and share my God-given gifts with others. I am somebody, I can do something, and I will go somewhere in life, and so will others like me.
Oh.
Wow.
Bella?
So, all you can say.
Wow. Really,
so do you understand why we are putting young people as our
really
leaders
touched
in this work?
Yes. Oh, my God. That really touched me, and it actually brought tears to my eyes. Thank you so much for that. And I'm speechless right now, but I'm really, really touched by your words, Bella. And, you know, as a mom, you know, of a child, and I'm trying not to cry. Just thank you. Thank you for that. And I really hope that your words touched the listeners. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bella. let me get myself together. Andrea, before we go, if you could let us know where we can go to find out more information.
The Special Olympics website is really a great, great place to start, and you can connect there to all of our social networking sites as well, on Twitter and Facebook and all kinds of places. That's www.specialolympics.org. You can go, it's a big website with a lot of stuff in it. If you want to go specifically to the Project Unify work, it's specialolympics.org/projectunify. And we have resources and tools there for everybody, including the connection to the Spread the Word to End the Word site, where you can pledge to not use the R-word, and you can find lots of resources for how to start a campaign in your school or community or club or place of work. And you can certainly contact us at the headquarters, and we'll answer any question that you have. And you can also get a program locator on our website, which will help you find the local contact information for your Special Olympics program where you happen to live.
Wow. Thank you. That went by very fast. Andrea, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for all your work and your compassion and your love for doing this work and the difference that you're making. And Isabella, thank you for all that you're doing to make a difference. You truly touched my heart today. And I know that you will continue to touch other people and inspire parents and as well as your peers. So thank you for being a voice. And thank you both for being on the show today.
Well, thank you very much for having us and for giving us the opportunity to share what we're doing with so many of your listeners. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was meant to fly. Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first. Know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
I was meant to fly.